This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey. It's a show about the most interesting people and stories of Mississippi. The Mississippi Riders Trail will officially launch with the unveiling of two historical marker prototypes honoring Eudora Welty and Jesmyn Ward as part of the Mississippi Book Festival on Saturday, August 18th. Today, we'll speak with the man who sparked the initiative, Malcolm White of the Mississippi Arts Commission and the owner of the legendary Hal and Mal's restaurant in downtown Jackson. Plus, we'll talk about the latest headlines in the weekly roundup. Hey, look, to be part of the show, give us a call at 877-MPB-RING. That's 877-672-7464. Or you can email me at marshall@mpbonline.org. This is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio, and we'll be right back after the news.
Get your MPB car tag anytime. It doesn't even have to be up for renewal. Simply go to your county office to sign up. When you get an MPB car tag, a portion of the fee helps MPB continue to educate, inform, and entertain Mississippians. For details, visit mpbonline.org/cartag. We'll see you on the road.
You're listening to Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey on MPB Think Radio.
All right, this is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio, and I'm Marshall Ramsey, your host. Happy Monday, by the way. Gorgeous day out there, August, but hey, you know, it could be hotter, could be worse.
What a difference a day makes. Look at yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny because, I mean, where I live was, like, right outside of the rain zone, so we had the thunder and the wind and everything, but, like, 5 miles south of here, they had like 19 inches of rain. Yeah, there was an ark, and all the animals in the Jackson Zoo were loading up into the ark, which may have been because of the rain, maybe because of other reasons, but we're not going to go there. I tell you what, we got a great show today.
We do.
I tell you what, the Mississippi Book Festival is coming up this
weekend. Yes, exciting time.
You know, and when they came up with that, I thought, it's about time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, honestly, our riders in the state, it's one of the things I enjoy the most about living here, is because you get to rub shoulders with people that just got talent out the ears when it comes to riding. Mm-hmm. It makes you want to become a better rider. Mm-hmm. Well, the book festival, you know, I think it was the fourth year now. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Sure. Malcolm, our guest today, is nodding appropriately. The first year was just boom. I mean, you could barely move. It was such a huge success, and it's just been getting better and better and better. And we'll talk about that a little bit today, too. And I tell you what, Malcolm White is here today, and of course, we all know Malcolm.
Hey, who doesn't know
Malcolm?
He's the Renaissance man.
What? That's why, as I said, we'll promote Mississippi whether they like it or not. That's kind of our slogan here today. I tell you what, he has done really more to help quality of life in Mississippi than most folks I know. And I really love Malcolm. And of course, Hal and Mal's for many years has helped put a little ring of fat around my belly because it's just some fantastic food. Big fan, of course, of his brother Hal, too. That's just needless to say. Always think of Hal every time I eat, you know, the gumbo and just
you and me both, brother.
Good stuff, to say the least. But anyway, and speaking of celebrating our state's literary legacy, we now have the Mississippi Riders Trail. The Blues Trail, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, we got the country music. Mm-hmm. This is something that probably, I mean, should have happened a long time ago, too. Because, I mean, honestly, every town you go to, there's like a famous author. And I asked Mac McAnally this question, Malcolm. I'm going to let you jump in on it. Do we have great writers and storytellers because we have great writers and storytellers, or because we have great stories? It's almost a chicken or an egg thing, isn't it? I mean,
sure. I mean, everybody has sort of weighed in on that question over the years. But, you know, we come from a traditional storytelling background, whether it's, you know, Irish or, you know, African-American. All of us are immigrants. We come from storytelling backgrounds. We ended up here. Scotch-Irish on my side, and we're great storytellers, and for the longest, it was the only way we had to communicate. You know,
Right. We've
sort of struggled to in terms of technology, so we became good storytellers, and we had a great story to tell, you know, the struggle, the poverty, the hardships, the fascinating things that occurred in Mississippi It all sort of plays into this, this great minutia of storytelling tradition, and everybody's a great storyteller. I used to say there are 2.9 million storytellers in Mississippi. Yeah. They're called our neighbors, our friends, our family, and our fellow Mississippians.
I've always said that, you know, the reason why we have so many great stories that are coming out of here is almost like why oysters produce pearls. I mean, you have this little grit, this irritant, this something that, you know.
That's good.
And so we sit down and literally produce, whether it's the blues or it's, you know, a novel, it's Lanterns on the Levee, it's something Faulkner may have written. I mean, it's just incredible how sometimes some of our worst pain can turn into some of the most beautiful art.
Correct. And also the same, you know, for all creativity, all art forms, you know.
Except for political cartoons. No.
You're kind of an anomaly there, but
yeah,
I will say
us.
That, you know, whether it's playwriting, Tennessee Williams, or music, B.B. King, Robert Johnson, fill in the blanks.
Right.
It all comes from the struggle, mm-hmm. comes yeah. from the land, from the place, this place, this place, as James Meredith once said, Mississippi is the most powerful word in the English language.
Mm. Wow. That's strong.
That's strong stuff.
Yeah, I mean, forget New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
That's right.
Because
mm.
that's what we've proven so many times. So anyway, look forward to hearing about it because, this is really exciting that and talk about. And I love the first two that you're going to introduce, and we won't jump ahead on that. But the first two names are perfect. Michelle and I were just talking about that. By the way, you have a freshman now. Congratulations.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Freshman in high school.
And I have a freshman
you
in college.
You have a freshman
now.
In college.
Yes, I came very close to my first heart attack this weekend, moving him into the dorm. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was very thankful that I had a boy. And back up here for a second before you start throwing anything at me. I watched the dads haul all their daughter's gear in there because they dress up those dorms for the girls like something out of Southern Living. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous what they're doing. But they have to schlep a lot more material in than I do. You know, I mean, he just had his phone, his computer, some clothes,
a comforter,
some shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't that bad. But yeah. I tell you what, the drive home. You know, we're out in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, which is somewhere between his college and where I live. And there was nothing around except for his mama blubbering and me having tears down my cheek. I was like, oh, my gosh. It's like 2 days ago he was in kindergarten.
Right.
And boom, he's already out of the house.
I know. And we talked last week. You told me to relish. I was feeling a little sad. I'm like, well, she's going to high school and blah, blah. You said, oh, it's going to go so fast these next 4 years. But I'm actually looking forward to enjoying every moment because of, like you said, once they're done, then it's time for another adventure.
Oh, no. Then they'll move back home.
Then you get to be a grandfather like me.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
I'm trying to really slow that down a little bit.
You got no control over
I mean,
time,
technically,
man.
Yeah, I know. It's out of my hands at this point. And I am technically old enough to be one. I will say that. But, I mean, I'm really trying. I look at my 11-year-old. I say, okay, just no girlfriends for the next 10 years. Okay? You'll be fine. I worried about him. The rest of them, they're going to be okay.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, no. I mean, I got one that started high school, one started middle school, and but the college one. And it's so weird when you have three kids because you go from, you know, when you have two, you're man to man, you go three, you go to zone, right? So you can't sit in booths and restaurants. I mean, there's just a lot of things when you have three kids. Well, we're back to two now. And so the dynamic in the house has totally changed. It's a lot quieter. The dog has been laying by the door for the last 3 days. Aww. Waiting for him to come home. And I mean, she usually didn't even pay any attention to him. And then suddenly she just realizes he's gone. And I mean, I walked into his room last night and I was like going, oh, this is hard, you know. And
see, he's not making it easier for me. He's actually painting this picture. I'm trying to be strong here. Give me 4 years and I hope I don't act. I think, you know, everyone who knows me.
You're going to blubber. You're not going to want to leave. You're going to be like hanging out the window of her dorm.
I asked her, I said, don't you want to go to a local college? So, yeah. You know, we can hang out more. And she was like, hang out. Oh, my God. No, I'm going as far away as possible.
Oh, now that would break your heart. No, I mean, lucky. He's still in state. He chose in state.
I know.
He got scholarship. Life is good. And I'm very grateful he did because, like, I can get up there in a couple hours and go see him. So that's wonderful. But, and I tell you what, because, I mean, it's like, as sad as I am, I'm also really, really excited for him because, I mean, the opportunities kids have now when they go to college. I mean, when I was in college, it was like, okay, Dad pulled up the truck. You know, literally, it looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. All my stuff stacked up on the back. He would, you know, cut the rope. Everything would fall out the back, and he would just hightail out of there. And then suddenly, I had to figure out, okay.
Don't come home until you have a job.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then I did come home, and I worked as a janitor, which I don't think was the job he had in mind. But I tell you, I mean, this what they get to do in the adventures. I mean, he's going to get to travel overseas and do all kinds of stuff. And he's in the Honors College, so, I mean, they do all kinds of cool stuff.
And you said you'll get to see him next week, so things like that. So,
but
you know,
mother asked him, when are you coming home next? And he didn't answer.
Oh.
And he was like, it got really quiet, and I could hear her heart breaking.
Oh, my.
It was tough.
So, well, you know.
It was cool. I mean, I'm just thrilled to death. But it was. You know, I mean, I'm not a crier. I mean, okay, the end of Old Yeller, I cried. Red Fern Grows, okay, I bawled. This was like, oh, my gosh. It was just, I suddenly got dusty in the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a little Hootie and the Blowfish, you know, some comfort food from the 90s, and I was good, you know. But it was, I mean, yesterday, and we started, you know, my wife and I just looked at each other going, let's clean the house. You know, because you had to do something to get your mind off the whole thing. So, but we're just a couple babies. I mean, really, it's like, oh, our child's gone. But you know, it's fun looking on Facebook because you saw everybody doing that.
I did. I went on Instagram and I saw the pictures of the dorm rooms. I saw the girls. I saw the guys. I saw the parents. And it almost made me feel like I was there. I was living vicariously through them, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, we're just a freshman in high school. She's right down the hall. I can go in her room and, you know, hug her and kiss her. Like you said, it is a different dynamic.
No, you were telling me you guys FaceTime each other in the house.
She does.
That is hilarious.
She asked me questions and I'm like, can you just walk over here to my room? She doesn't want to do that, and it feels like sometimes we're distant in the house. So I actually actively get up, go in her room, lay in her bed. She hates it, but I just want to be the mommy that's involved, you know.
If I did that, my kids would kill me.
I love that, so. And it agitates her, so it makes it more fun.
Well, that's really and that's our job as a parent, agitate our children, because we have to make them tough. Now we'll get a text like, "Could you bring me some toilet paper?"
I know, right?
Yeah, which is great. I mean, technology is wonderful, but.
We talked about that on Everyday Tech.
Just don't drop the phone in the toilet.
Texting in the house. I mean, back in our day, guys, we didn't have phones. We didn't have text. We actually had to talk to each other.
Oh, my wife is a complete Luddite. I mean, she does not like phones or, you know, she barely does Facebook. She just, like, all this stuff annoys her. So when you're at the table and even, like, the dog is texting or looking at his phone at the dinner table, she, like, literally does Mount St. Helens. Like, boom, put the phones away. So we have a little basket and we have to go over there. I'm just as guilty as anybody because it is an addiction.
Right.
And so,
it really is.
So, but it's great. I mean, it's like literally the next day I get texts from my sons and everything else. And I've got a friend who's got two daughters up at Iowa State. He lives in Atlanta. They're in Iowa State, which is like on the other side of the moon from Atlanta. And so he said, but, you know, they FaceTime me. They text me. I probably talk to them more now that they're gone than I did on the other. So, and I got a lot of people at the school that are looking out for my son. So life's good.
Yeah.
So that's great. And Malcolm White's going to be looking out for him, too. Yeah. He just doesn't realize it yet. So.
I'll keep an eye on him.
I'll keep an eye on him, because Malcolm's everywhere.
He is.
But he's here today.
Everywhere good. If it's something good in Mississippi, he's going to be there. That's what I love about him
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Does a great job promoting the arts, so. Mm-hmm.
We're going to impose civic pride on them, whether they want it or not.
Exactly. Right. That sounds like something my dad would say. You're going to enjoy this beating, whether you like it or not. Like, what? But I tell you... you know, I guess technically you're kind of a salesman, but you have a great product to sell.
I do. Sometimes it's hard sometimes, but, you know, for the 3 years I was the state tourism director, there were days where I was scratching my head about how do I make this look good and sound good?
Yeah.
But, you know, I managed, but I've always been an ambassador for my state of birth, and I love Mississippi. It's complicated. If it was easy, we'd be overcrowded.
I like that. We're going to coin that one.
Can we put that on the license plate?
I love that one.
Can we put that on the new license plate? Forget the state seal. We're going to put that on there. That'd work great.
So, all right.
Oh, we take a break. That'd be great. Okay. Well, coming back, you currently pretty much know what's going to be coming up next because we've already let that cat out of the bag. Malcolm White, he's the executive director of the Mississippi Arts Commission, owner of the legendary Howlin' Mouse restaurant in Jackson as well. Love me some Howlin' Mouse. Good stuff. So now you're talking on MPB Think Radio. We'll be right back.
Can't stick around for the rest of the show? You can always catch up by logging on our website at mpbonline.org or use the MPB Public Media app on your mobile device. This is MPB Think Radio, where Mississippi is our mission.
Get your MPB car tag anytime. It doesn't even have to be up for renewal. Simply go to your county office to sign up. When you get an MPB car tag, a portion of the fee helps MPB continue to educate, inform, and entertain Mississippians. For details, visit mpbonline.org/cartag. We'll see you on the road.
You're listening to Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey on MPB Think Radio. The information presented on this program is meant to provide general information about the topics discussed and is not necessarily the opinion of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. The information presented does not create any type of relationship between the hosts and guests and the listening audience. Please consult an appropriate professional for guidance about your concerns.
Welcome back. So Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Marshall Ramsey. I love that disclaimer. You know, if the show lasts more than 5 hours, call a doctor. There you go. So I just want to add that to it as well. Malcolm White is in the studio and got a lot of great news. We're talking about a lot of the good things going on, but there's something really cool going on Friday.
Saturday.
Well, something cool is going on Friday, too, but something really cool is going on Saturday.
Well, Friday is the beginning of the book festival. It's the opening event. Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the unveiling, which is Saturday.
Well, that's even bigger. So tell me more.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, huge weekend.
For literature and writing in Mississippi. You know, this is the fourth annual Mississippi Book Festival at your state capitol. If you haven't been to the state capitol lately, it's a good time to visit. It's full of writers and readers and people who love their state. But it is a big weekend for this. This, as you pointed out in the earlier part of the show, this thing has been phenomenally successful from the get-go. The way that we approach the Writers Trail is that we were playing off of the success of the Blues Trail, the Country Music Trail, and the Freedom Trail, the Civil Rights Trail. Right. And the next piece, the logical piece of the puzzle, was writers. And we have talked about it for over 5 years about we need to do this. And we finally have this opportunity to do it. And a lot of the reason I think that we were able to do it now is because of the success of the book festival.
Yeah.
That's a great tie-in.
Oh, I think so, too. When I first moved here, I thought, wow, there's Willie Morris's house, and there's Eudora Welty's house. Oh, she goes shopping at the Jitney, which, I mean, that... So now to actually have those little signs up so that people can drive all around the state and actually see where these things are happening, that's really just a wonderful no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, I think our marker program in the state, which, is, as I said, is incredibly successful. I think the Blues Marker is the most successful cultural endeavor that the state has been involved in my lifetime.
When did that start under Haley, didn't it?
Well, yeah, great question. It actually started way back with Ray Mabus.
Did it really?
I was on the first Blues Commission. John Horn was on the first Blues Commission. But we couldn't figure out what we wanted to do, needed to do. We just knew there something needed to be done.
Yeah.
And it sort of, we met, we had big ideas, but nothing happened. And it was when... later, when Ronnie Musgrove, right at the end of Musgrove's term and the beginning of Haley's, where they reconstituted the Blues Commission, and that group of people said, why don't we put up markers? And that was the beginning of that adventure. And as I said, I think it's one of the most successful things that we've ever accomplished. Now we're at a place where we're really struggling to maintain those markers.
I'm about to say.
They need a lot of maintenance and upkeep. So
kind of like our roads.
That's right.
Yeah.
Except there are no potholes on the marker.
Just bullet holes.
There are a few of those.
Yeah.
So there are 200 blues markers in the ground. There's 30 country music markers. There's almost 30 civil rights freedom trail markers.
One of them in front of the state capitol.
That's right. For a rally. And now we are launching, finally, the Writers Trail. And for a while, it was referred to as Literary Trail. And I love that word, but unfortunately, it doesn't include all writers. It does not include journalists. It does not include cookbook writers. It does not. I mean, literature is sort of thought of as fiction and novel writing. So
right.
I thought that was too limiting, and we got our group to sort of think large, and we went with Writers Trail.
Oh, that's great. I don't know about you, but I mean, if I have a little bit of time, and you do a lot of driving around the state, and I do too, If I see one of the signs, I will literally stop and get out and read it.
Yeah, I can't. They're like magnets to me. Everywhere I go, I see them, and I go, I'm always looking at them like, how much maintenance does it need? Do we need to, you know, yeah. Do we need to weed around this? We need to replace the vinyl. Where are we on that? They're just great wayfinders. They tell a story that says this happened here, and then they say, and if you're interested, you should go here. They lead people across our state. If they're interested in writing, literature, if they're interested in music, blues or country, if they're interested in the civil rights struggle, we have these wayfinders. And they not only help visitors to understand the Mississippi story, but they give, as I said earlier, they give civic pride to locals. So people are proud to have these markers in their town. They're proud of these people who came from their town. And so they become, you know, these sort of things to build cultural and heritage tourism around and to build celebrations around. They've been remarkably successful.
That's one of the things I've always been amazed at. I mean, you can stop at, say, the B.B. King Museum, Indianola, great museum. Look at the guest book, Eastern Europe, you know, mm-hmm. England, you know, all over around the world. So you realize that there are people that are actually coming to Mississippi just for this reason, for our story.
And we always knew that, but we never had a way to sort of inventory it. Yeah. Now we do. So, yes, that's part of it. We have people who come here from all over the world. We have people who come from all over the country. But, again, let's not forget the piece about the civic pride that it builds locally.
Amen.
That's a big deal.
Well, I think it's important to tell your own story, too.
Right.
I mean, it's good for us to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the Mississippi Arts Commission real quick. What are your goals for the state of Mississippi and for the commission?
Well, our job is to grant and service the arts statewide. So we're about a $3 million a year operation from soup to nuts.
Which out of the $10 billion state budget is not a huge chunk of money. But
well, we get about $800,000 from the federal government, from the National Endowment, and the balance comes from our Mississippi legislature. So the legislature appropriates about $1.5. And I'll tell you, this is one thing about it. We give away half of the money. We re-grant half of all the money that we gather and then spend the rest on all sorts of programs and initiatives and, you know, operations. But, you know, we fund everything from individual artists, nonprofit arts-based organizations, and units of government who are participating in the arts. And that includes schools, counties, cities, libraries, book clubs, art councils, museums, you name it. If art is being presented, then they are available to apply to us for funds. And we do a lot of other stuff, like the Writers Trail. You know, we took the initiative to launch the Writers Trail as a special initiative. We have other programs, Poetry Out Loud for high school seniors to do poetry recitation, and we air it here live on MPB. We do Link Up. It is an orchestral initiative, an arts education orchestral initiative. In every community in Mississippi that has an orchestra, we do a Carnegie Hall partnership with orchestral music. We do folk art. We do blues. You know, we do quilting.
Yeah.
You know, we do it all. We do all the folk arts, all the traditional arts, and all the modern stuff, and all the museums as well.
I know the answer to this because I have known several people that have made it big on the national scene that got started by grants. But if there's a naysayer out there that's thinking, well, why should the government be picking winners when it comes to the arts? I mean, tell folks why that's important, why it's important to throw the seed money out there to get that started.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that, you know, the arts should be funded by the private sector, to which I say, write me a check.
Yeah.
But in 1965, the United States of America made a commitment. It was a big idea that John Kennedy had that Lyndon Johnson saw into fruition, and that was to publicly fund arts and humanities in America. We started that in 65. In 68, Mississippi formed the Mississippi Arts Commission to mimic what was going on in Washington. As a country, it is one of our principles that we believe in public funding of the arts.
Right.
And we have done it for 50-plus years, and it has worked really well. And I believe that is an American value, and that is a Mississippi value. Now, people who want to argue that the arts should not be funded by public money, that's their opinion. I believe in public broadcasting. I believe in public libraries. I believe in public funding of the arts. And that is the way we do it in America. If anyone wants to change that, I would say get busy, because the United States Congress appropriates the money every year for the endowment for the arts and the humanities, and they see the value and have seen it for over 50 years of public funding and public humanities.
Well, I mean, Malcolm, too, and seriously, of all the places I've lived, and of course I've been in Mississippi 21 years, that is it, the arts is as much an industry in this state as anything else we do. And so this, I mean, people don't blink an eye if you throw $100 million at a plant. But if you throw a few hundred thousand dollars here or $1,000 there or $500, it's really much the same effect, because you are, because it's our story here in Mississippi. I mean, we are known for great writers. We're known for great artists, so forth and else. So we might as well promote them and get them started here. That's just my opinion.
Well, I believe that arts and culture is our greatest resource.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always been our lead. It's the one thing that when people said negatives, we could respond with a positive. Oh, yeah, but B.B. King is from here. Oh, yeah, but
exactly.
Eudora Welty's from here. Oh, yeah, but we did this, we did that. And the math is this. Between the federal government and state government, Mississippi gets $1 per person to fund the arts. And I don't think that's extravagant.
No, that's not. That's can almost get you a Coca-Cola.
Almost.
So as well. All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit, too, about the Writers Trail. And we talked about how it's kind of another leg and all these different series of markers. How do you say, okay, these are the people we're going to choose? Which one are we going to do first? I mean, how does that process work?
Well, fortunately, we established this process a long time ago. With the Blues Trail, the Country Music Trail, and the Freedom Trail. And that is that we have a scholars group who make the hard decisions. So the scholars group will decide what markers will be in phase one. They will decide to suggest where those markers should be placed. They will be the ones who say we should start with number one, number two, number three. And we follow the scholars lead. Like the Blues Commission has a scholars group that decides where the marker should be, whether or not we should do a marker. And all of these markers have been led by specialists, by scholars.
Which is brilliant, because it could get political really quick.
Yeah. And so for anybody who says Malcolm White decides where a marker goes, they just don't know how it rolls.
Well, I mean, I had a $20 bill. I was going to see if I could get one. So.
You know, it's kind of like people say, well, Malcolm White decides who gets a grant from the Arts Commission. Wrong. I'm not even in the room when the panelists review these. We use scholars. We use specialists. Yeah. And that is the way it's done.
Definitely as well. Well, I tell you what. What were the challenges of getting this whole program started?
Well, we had to raise the money because we had none.
Is a really tough place to start.
There are no public dollars put forward to make a Writers Trail happen. We had to begin to write grants. We've written a grant to the National Endowment for the Humanities. We've written a grant to MDOT. We've written a grant to the Mississippi Delta Heritage Area. We're grant writing and we're fundraising in order to build this trail. So it wasn't like we went across the street and said, hey, to the legislature, we need $100,000 to build a Writers Trail. We didn't ask that. We said, we're going to go out and find the money. And we have. And so we've built this advisory group. We've built the scholars group. We've raised the money. And we're putting the trail up.
You've planted the seeds, and we're about to see the first fruit. And we will, after the break, we will tell everybody. We don't have a drum roll, or we do a drum roll. But we will announce who the first two are, which I think are great choices. And, well, we'll find out in just a second. This is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio.
MPBOnline.org is the destination for everything Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Catch up on past shows from Think Radio, check out MPB TV or Music Radio, and become a sustaining member, all from one place. Get connected now at MPBOnline.org.
Back to school means a fresh start, a clean slate. But since teachers rarely write on slate chalkboards anymore, it's a clean laptop or tablet, plus all the other school gear your child needs for a great year of learning. So when you're buying those school supplies, give yourself a great year of learning with all the news and quiz programs you love on MPB Think Radio. Keep those programs coming by rounding up your change from those school supplies. Go to mpbonline.org to see how easy it is. It's going to be a great year.
You're listening to Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey on MPB Think Radio.
This is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Marshall Ramsey, and Michelle is killing it on the bumper music today. Very nice. Malcolm and I are kind of sitting here bopping around here. Anyway, Malcolm White is in the house. He's, of course, the executive director of the Mississippi Arts Commission and, of course, owner of the legendary Howl & Mal's restaurant, and basically been a huge promoter of Mississippi for as long as I've lived here and then a lot longer before that. So
I got started early.
You did. You were just a kid, just a ute. Anyway, we've been talking about Mississippi's first rider trail markers, which I have already expressed my opinion that I think that this is a brilliant idea, and I'm really glad to see it's come to fruition. It is not, you know, coming out of your necessarily out of your back pocket, because this funded by grants and by a lot of donations, and now we're ready to unveil the first two, which is pretty exciting. Look at you, Michelle. Coming up on Saturday, we will find out the first two are
Eudora Welty.
Hey. Yeah. No brainer on that one.
And Jesmyn Ward.
That is strong.
And people have asked me why these two were selected, and here's the reason. Because we wanted to make the unveiling a part of the book festival,
yeah,
we thought it was important to choose Jackson-based writers, because we thought, well, if we unveil it during the book festival, people will want to literally go to where the markers are. So
right.
The original idea was that we would put the permanent marker at Miss Welty's house.
Yes.
And we would do that in a couple, three places in Jackson, so that people could move around. Well, that all fell apart. So now we're putting up prototypes of markers rather than the real marker, and we're doing it at the Capitol, mm-hmm. live on C-SPAN, at the book festival. And the reason that Jesmyn was chosen is because she will be there. And she,
yes.
It was the
feature. Eudora will not be there, though.
No, that's right.
And that's good.
But Miss Welty was chosen because she's a Jackson-based writer. So, but we also tried in the earliest goings to possibly have Margaret Walker Alexander and Richard Wright and Richard Ford and Eudora, all because they're Jackson-based.
Yeah.
But we just, that was an impossibility to cross all of those. So we settled on Miss Welty. They were, her organization, the home, the foundation was very eager to work with us. Jesmyn was going to be here. It just sort of happened, and it's brilliant, and it's great. You know, one deceased legendary writer, one young contemporary writer.
Who is absolutely just knocking it out.
On fire.
And she's on fire. She's one of the hottest authors in the country. So.
But we will get to all of the majors. We think we can do 30 markers coming up in this first year. We call that phase one. It will hit all of the greats. And then we will begin to work down the line as to what else we can do. And the thing is, it changes all the time. I mean, these people are not all well-known Pulitzer Prize winners,
right,
who are deceased. There's many of these people who are extraordinarily famous and worthy of a marker who are still with us. For example, Richard Ford.
Right.
And, you know, I had assumed Richard would want his marker in Jackson.
Nay.
Not true. When I contacted Richard, he said, man, I am so flattered to be a part of this. This is huge, and I love it. But I would like for my marker to be in Clarksdale.
Really?
At the Carnegie Library, because that is the only place in Mississippi that I chose to live, not where my parents lived.
Really?
I chose to live in Clarksdale. I wrote a good bit of The Sports Writer at the Carnegie Library, and I would love to have my marker there. These are the beautiful things that you find out when you start down a trail like this.
Right. I mean, I was just thinking about that. What about Willie Morris? I mean, obviously, Yezzy said he's like a no-brainer, but his legacy in Jackson is huge. And, of course, he spent a lot of time up in Oxford. And
it's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough.
We've got a lot of work to do with these scholars, and they've got their work before them to make hard decisions about locations and communities. And, look, there is a huge, already huge debate about Tennessee Williams, whether it's Columbus or Clarksdale. That one's already unfolding. But you know what? I think it's a good thing. These are great discussions to have. Let's let communities fight over culture.
Right.
Let's let them put their best foot forward. Let's let them case make for why it should be in their town and why they should be the community that supports that particular
It's kind of nice to take a couple of days off from fighting about football.
Or politics.
And politics. Oh, no. Yeah. Don't bring that up. That's a sore subject. No, just kidding. I got to do my cartoon today. How about, you know, you talk about the Pulitzer winners and the number of Pulitzer winners we have from here. When I was a finalist the two times, I was so nervous I was going to win because I thought if they ever held a party of Pulitzer winners from Mississippi, I'd be wearing an orange vest with flashlights parking cars. I was like, I'm not worthy. Our literary tradition here is incredible.
Yeah, we've also won a Nobel Peace Prize, as you know.
Yeah.
Mississippi has written the book. That I love saying that.
Yeah.
When it comes to writers and our place in the American literary canon, Mississippi has written the book.
Yeah.
And it's high time that we honor that. And that's the beautiful thing about this work is that we get to do this.
If you create a marker, how do you design it, A? And B, is there like a Markers R Us or someplace that you buy them from? I just was kind of curious.
There are two companies in the United States of America that make these.
That's a niche product, you know?
It is. And we'll be dealing with one of them.
Yeah.
The design, I had long had this vision that this marker should look like an open book. And thankfully, our advisory committee and our scholars agreed, and so the look is an open book. It's not flashy. It's not bright colors. It just looks like a book opened up on a marker, and it has the same information on both sides. We didn't do the vinyl because that's more expensive, and that's the piece that has to be maintained and changed all the time. So we went with sort of the archives and history version with the same information on both sides, raised letters, aluminum cast, but they're more affordable than the Blues markers and the Freedom Trail markers and the Country markers because they have that incredible sort of story on the backside.
Yeah.
That's the vinyl that has to be changed and maintained.
Well, who sits down and writes what's going to be on the marker?
Another incredibly cool part about this project is We work with these scholars on writing it. And let's, for example, Miss Welty. So our lead scholar wrote the piece. It was shared with the Welty Foundation. It was then shared with Suzanne Mars, who's a Welty scholar, and then shared with the family. And it took every bit of 3 months to go back and forth on words, punctuation, whether to include or exclude this. Were we being repetitive because there's already a historical marker there?
Yeah.
Let's talk about things that aren't on that marker. And so it's a fascinating process that I just get to be a fly on the wall to. In terms of Jesmyn, again, the lead scholar wrote the piece. We submitted it to Jesmyn herself.
Yeah, that's kind of handy.
And then she got to edit it, and she got the final say. So that's a different type of experience, but... But all in all, what a great gig, you know, do you get to be a part of this?
Oh, gosh. I was just thinking how absolutely over the top my marker would be if I got to write my own marker. Marshall Ramsey looks a lot like Brad Pitt. You know? Draws like Jeff McNally, the greatest editorial cartoonist. Oh, yeah, I could just write it. It'd be great. But no, this ain't going to happen. So, you know, there you go.
You never know.
I guess I'll sit down and actually write
a
book.
You never know.
And that's to say, you touched on this a little bit earlier because it was – you know, originally it was very narrow in scope, and then you widened it a little bit. How wide is it for writers? Because, I mean, like you said, cookbook writers and, you know, there's all kinds of different writers that write books.
Well, in the end, this will be the scholar's decision, but we will be gathering them up here shortly after the unveiling and going on this journey of picking the first 30 names. And in that process, we will talk about genres. How can you leave out Craig Claiborne?
Right.
He's a cookbook writer, but how can you leave him out?
Right.
Right. How can you leave out Curtis Wilkie, a great journalist?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay, so we're blessed. We have all of these different genre of writers who've come from Mississippi, and they all need to be included. So we've got to have a wide tent, and we'll have to have a lot of discussions about how to be inclusive and thorough, and at the same time honor the greats. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to see what's next on that. So the unveiling is at the book festival. It's Saturday.
9 a.m.
on
Saturday.
That's early. That's early for writers.
Well, it's live on C-SPAN.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we're going to be live on television broadcasting the unveiling. The Welty family, Mary Alice and the Welty Foundation will be there and unveil her marker. Jesmyn will be there, and she will speak. And it's open to the public, and everybody's invited to come to the Capitol at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning and to hear Jesmyn speak and to see the unveiling. It's going to be a powerful day. And, again, we're unveiling prototypes,
right?
Mock-ups. They're not the actual markers. But later in the month, we will be literally unveiling Miss Welty's at her home. It's in Jackson.
Yeah.
The marker's here. It's gigantic. It's heavy. We didn't want to drag it to the state capitol just for this unveiling. So it's in storage, and it will be placed at the Welty home soon. And we'll have that'll be the actual first unveiling of a physical place and a physical marker. Yeah. But the two on Saturday are the official rollout of the trail.
Where would Jesmyn's be?
Hers will ultimately be her choice and the scholar's choice, but I can't imagine, and it would not be on the coast.
Yeah.
DeLille is where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
But she may say, like Richard Ford did, you know?
That's true.
We'll see. I want my marker at this school. I want my marker at this library. I want my marker at this home. You know, again, this is the amazing thing, is that you just don't know what people are going to say.
The book festival, and, you know, you're talking about being on C-SPAN. That was one of my sessions I was in was actually televised by C-SPAN. I just felt like I had something in my nose the whole time. You know,
well, look, man, you're on television all the time.
I know.
And on radio all the time.
I know, but it was nerve wracking. I was like, I bet there's 25 people watching me right now. This is really tough. All right, we're going to come back with more Malcolm White and talk a little bit about, of course, the arts in Mississippi and a lot of the great things that are going on in here in this wonderful state that we live in. But first, we're going to take a break. This is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio.
If you're a sustaining member of MPB Think Radio, we appreciate your support of our programs. To become a sustainer, go to mpbonline.org.
I'm Kevin Farrell, the host of Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Each week, Nancy Lotridge-Anderson, Associate Professor of Finance at Mississippi College, joins me and answers questions about credit, investing, saving for retirement, and all things finance. Also, we invite you to call in and share your successes in navigating the personal finance challenges that we all face. Money Talks, Tuesday mornings at 9 on MPB Think Radio.
You're listening to Now You're Talking with Marshall Ramsey on MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back. This is Now You're Talking on MPB Think Radio. Happy Monday, by the way. I hope you're having a... It's hard to believe August is starting to fly by here. Everybody's back in school now. We're doing the grind. We're back in carpool, which has got to be the most frustrating, most dangerous place in the world is driving through carpool. I actually trained for carpool in Atlanta. That's where I trained to be able to drive through carpool. But it's been a lot of fun. Hope everybody's having a great day. Thank you for being part of the show. And speaking of part of the show, we have Malcolm White in the house. Always good to talk to you, Malcolm. Always good to see you again. Last time I talked to you, I guess, was on TV. We were talking about the book.
Yeah.
About the history of Hal and Mouse.
Hal and Mouse.
Which I thought was fantastic. The book was fantastic. Not only because the illustrations were really good, which you did not know.
Ginger Dem.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Great illustrator.
Really were. Really captured the spirit of the place, which I thought was really good. But also the thing I enjoyed about the book so much was that it was literally a history of Jackson and of Mississippi during that time as well. I mean, I never would have guessed that Willie Morris had his own phone by the table.
And his own set of keys.
His own set of keys. Yeah, it was almost like Otis in a way. He let himself into the restaurant. So, but gosh, what great stories. And all the great, I mean, you've seen so much since you've been here.
Yeah, if you live long enough, you know, you see a lot. And I've been blessed in many ways to have seen a lot of it from Hallamals and from that perspective, and met so many fascinating people along the way. It's remarkable when I think about it to look back at all the things that we were able to do, the people we were able to meet. I mean, having Willie Dixon come to Hallamals.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, the music component, too, has always been amazing.
I mean, Warren Zevon. I mean, the list just...
Oh, Kevin Costner. I mean, come on.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Tim.
I mean, come on.
I know.
But, Miss Welty had her 90th birthday party there. Willie had his 60th birthday party there. And, of course, we're going to be gathering after the book festival in the after party.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, go back down to Hallamals. We've got a great band, Raphael Sims and Bill Ellison, have put together this group called the Hallamals All-Stars, and it's a bunch of people who've played through the years there, and so we're very excited about that.
You know, that's one of the things about the book festival. I'm not on a panel this year's first year. I've not been on a panel. But the thing I've enjoyed as much of being part of it is the Author's Lounge.
Yeah.
Because that's like a family reunion.
Well, I've never been in the Author's Lounge, but I can only imagine.
You need to sneak in there.
Is that like going backstage at a rock show?
It is very much like that, except they have pastries.
Oh.
There aren't drugs. They're just pastries.
No M&Ms.
No M&Ms. No one-color M&Ms. I tell you what, but it's just so much fun. You walk in there and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in 6 months or, you know. It's pretty special.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this festival. You know, we tend to think of festivals as music festivals.
Right.
They were sort of the prototype. But, I mean, you get to see all the rock stars of writing here, people who've published a book in the last year, and they cover subjects as varied as, you know, music and art and history.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just amazing to think that Salman Rushdie will be here Saturday at our little book
festival. How did we manage to get him?
And John Meacham. I mean, John Meacham.
Oh, Meacham, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. And yeah.
Meacham could read the phone book, and I would go sit and listen to him.
Yeah.
He's got a gift.
And Julia Reed, and the hits just keep coming. Jesmyn Ward, it's just amazing. And I don't know. It's a very cool thing, and it really is instrumental in telling the Mississippi story, you know, our role in writing in America. And all of these people who came from this place and told these stories, good, bad, and ugly. They're not all great stories. They're not all like civic pride-based stuff.
Yeah.
There's some tough stuff in there.
Right.
But, man.
But I think that's important. I mean,
absolutely.
It really is. Because, I mean, if you're not honest, then it's just PR.
Yeah. No, it's great. And we look forward to it. I mean, the Arts Commission is proud to be a funder of the book festival. I'm happy to serve on committees. I'm glad I get to be a part of it. I'm glad I get to go. And we're unveiling the Writer's Trail, and that's a huge deal this year. And, this thing just keeps getting bigger and better and bigger and better. It's remarkable. And, you know, Holly Lang and Jerry Nash really are the two principal people. There is certainly a board who've done the Omens work, and a lot of people involved, a lot of funders. We really appreciate people who give resources to make culture happen. The Mississippi legislature gave money, and we appreciate that. It's expensive to do these things and to do them well, and this one is really done well.
And I tell you, having it in the state capitol,
huge.
There could not be a better location. It reminds me, seriously, of my goal in life is to do research in the Library of Congress in the big
mm-hmm.
room.
Yeah.
'Cause you just walk in there and you're like, I feel like I need to be smart if I'm sitting in this room. Sometimes maybe smart things don't come out of the Capitol. No, not recently. We love our legislators. Okay, I'll say that because I love drawing them. But
without them, you'd have no trade.
They're my writers. Actually, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you walk in that building, and that building is so gorgeous, and you walk out of there feeling, oh wow, I'm so proud of this place.
Yeah, and we're using it for a statewide arts conference this year. The Mississippi Arts Commission is hosting a statewide arts conference at the Capitol because of the success of the book festival there.
Right.
And I hope that us using it will encourage other people to use it. Because other than during the session, the building is not you know, that right. that busy. So right. and it's the people's house, so we should have access to it, and we should use it for more things.
One of my great memories was, you know, afterwards, after you're done speaking, you can go out and have a giant tent where the authors sit, and people can go buy the books, which is great, because, I mean, booksellers are selling books like crazy, and people can come up and ask for your autograph, which is a lot of fun. And I had the pleasure of sitting next to Bill Dunlap. Man, number one, Bill Dunlap, if there's ever a party around, Bill's right in the middle of it. And he is so funny and so much fun. And we're sitting there, and, you know, we're signing a book here and there. And there's this one writer over there who had a line that went pretty much to Louisiana. And we're looking over there going, all right, I'm a little jealous here. Who is that? It was Angie Thomas.
Well, Angie Thomas.
Oh, she is like a rock star.
She is a rock
star. Yeah.
And I got to introduce her last year. And, you know, I was kind of had butterflies being on stage introducing Angie.
But she is so cool. She's been on this show. She is so much fun.
She's amazing.
She really is. And, of course, the movie's coming out, and then she's about to launch another book.
And so. She still lives here, and I love that.
Oh, yeah, and she's still humble.
Yeah, she's
I
great.
Wouldn't be. I'd be a really pain in the neck if I was that successful. But.
And I think Rick Bragg's coming this year.
Is he? Oh, I love, man, Rick's.
You know, I remember in the first meeting that we had about the Mississippi Book Festival, what we did was we raised a little bit of money, and we brought all of the directors of all of the successful book festivals in the country to Jackson at .com at Lemuria, and we had a roundtable discussion about if we were going to have a book festival in Mississippi, these are the things we should do and shouldn't do. And to a man and woman of the group assembled there, of these experts, each one of them said, the first thing you need to know is you got to have Rick Bragg.
Really?
The guy can draw a crowd. And I'll never forget that.
And he's like the Elvis of the literary world.
Who knew? Yeah. Of course, we've done really well with a lot of other people as well. But yeah, so we get Rick.
Yeah, you launched it with Grisham. I mean, that's
not bad.
No, that's starting pretty high up. So,
but what an interesting story, you know, as you say, to start with Grisham, a guy who used to have a desk in the house,
right? It's come full circle.
State legislator turned novelist,
and the Jackson State Sonic Boom, right there too,
right there. And by the way, in the Hallam Owls book, we talk about John Grisham's first book signing was at Hallam Owls.
That's right. That's right. And tell that story real quick, because that really was.
Well, no bookstore wanted it because no one knew anything about John. He was a state legislator, and he had written this book. So he went to Lemuria, and they said, no, not now. And then he went to the Bookworm, and you know, they were like, nah, I don't know. So they finally, Lynn Clark, who owned the Bookworm, called me, and she said, Malcolm, would you do a book? Would you let John Grisham come sign books at Hallam Owls? And I was like, I guess. She said, look. He's not going to sell any books, but you might sell a few drinks.
Yeah, because so, if he brings the whole, you know, brings some.
His legislator friends will come. So I said, well, bring him on.
Yeah.
And he did. And of course, I wasn't smart enough to get a book. I was too busy running Hallam Owls.
Yeah, because basically you could retire if you had.
Well, later he sent me one.
Did he? Oh, good.
He's a very gracious guy.
He is.
And he sent me one and signed it and said thank you.
That's one thing I've discovered after dealing with a lot of really talented people, like Angie, for instance. The really, really talented ones are like decent human beings.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible because they have nothing to prove.
I've been around stars all my life, and some are more interesting and some are more gracious than others. But yeah, Grisham is great. Angie Thomas is great. I mean, you know.
Oh, you're great. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I figured that'd be a great way to end the show. So anyway, the unveiling is on Saturday at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
At the Mississippi State Capitol. Come on down. Be on TV.
On C-SPAN, too. That's right. Tell your mom. It'd be great. Okay. I want to thank Malcolm for joining us today. And, of course, well, I'll tell you what, it's been a great show today. Michelle, thank you for producing it. Love the bumper music, as always. If you missed any of today's program and want to hear past episodes, you can log on to our website at mpbonline.org. Now You're Talking is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Stay tuned for Southern Remedy and join us next week for more Now You're Talking, only on MPB Think Radio.